This is Circe Olson Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Tejeros, New Mexico, and this is our podcast, At Ease. I'm speaking with Shannon Hyde. He's a Marine Corps brat, freshman at Penn State University, and he's the host, founder, I'm not sure what you call it, of The Shannon Show. It's a podcast on Spotify. Hi, Shannon.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. I need to tell our listeners that we're doing this by phone because of the pandemic, and also you're at Penn State, so we wouldn't be doing we wouldn't do it in person anyway. So a little background. You reached out to me, you introduced yourself and your podcast, and you said you'd like to have Operation Footlocker on your podcast and sent me a link to it. And I listened to your podcast. I thought, I don't know how you're going to get Operation Footlocker through audio. But, so I wrote you back saying, hey, I'm willing to try. And then I found out you have your podcast also on YouTube, which is cool and makes more sense. So I wanted to start there. I know you're a full-time student majoring in aerospace engineering. Why do you want to start a podcast sharing stories of military kids to the public? Why is it important?
You know, that's funny. My mom actually asked me the same thing right before I left for school, because that's when I started, just shortly before I left for Penn State. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have all the distractions that already come with college in terms of partying and other temptations. And then you have what I'm doing is probably one of the most difficult course loads at Penn State. And then my mom's like, and now you're going to throw a full-time YouTuber obligation on top of that? But to be honest with you, it's not necessarily all about me, and it's really for two reasons. Mm. First, I needed something that was important to me and something that I knew other people would want to watch, and nothing speaks more to that than how I feel about teenage military kids and their lifestyles and their stories that I know that so many of them want to share and they want to have heard, and I know that I have so many stories myself, and it's just something that I really have a passion for. And I also held, I guess you could say, kind of a wall right before I left for school was my major, the aerospace engineering. I feel like there's not a whole lot of Shannon in that. So, you know, because it's a lot of, like, physics and calculus, and I wanted something more that I could really apply my creative talents to, I guess you could say, because that's something I take a lot of pride in, and something that I think I have a talent for. Uh-huh. So it really appeals to my strengths and something I have a passion for. So that's really why how I got started.
So I'm just curious, you said something that triggered me to think this. You said there's not a whole lot of Shannon in your aerospace engineering major. Yeah. So why are you doing it?
Well, for the first 2 years at least, there's not a whole lot of Shannon in it, sure. I guess why I'm doing it is there's a lot of reasons. I want to be on that next frontier of aviation and space exploration and drones, and I find that all to be fascinating. And it's not that I'm bad at physics or mathematics, it's just something that I want to be a part of. If that's going to happen, I want to be there, and it's just something I really have an interest in.
Okay, cool. So getting back to your podcast, it's called The Shannon Show. I only heard 4 episodes online, so you just said that you're just starting it. It's
right,
pretty
yeah.
new. So what is your ultimate vision for the podcast? What do you want to accomplish with it?
So actually, I just wrote another episode this morning, episode number 5, a whopping 5 episodes now, so everyone can go check that one out. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I want this to be something bigger than what I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm just talking to a lot of kids that I already know a few things about them, so with their stories and what I'm talking about, I already kind of have an idea of what they're going to share. Mm-hmm. In the end, I want this to be something a lot larger, where military teen brats can come together and share whatever they want. They can brag about whatever they're doing with their lives now, their post-brat experiences. Mm-hmm. They can share their stories, be nostalgic. It's really just a space for them to come to the show and share whatever they want to share, and I'm happy to talk to them always.
Oh, that's very cool. So for our listeners who are interested in tuning into The Shannon Show, where can they find it?
It's on Spotify and YouTube. I only sent you to Spotify earlier because I was a little worried that you'd see my little view count of subscribers and you wouldn't want to do an interview.
Hey.
So I send to Spotify, but yes, please check it out on YouTube and Spotify both. You can also follow me on Instagram as well, SHA.HYDE. Happy to talk to anyone.
Okay, so we need to tell people who are Googling you, and especially the older people, your name is spelled Shanon.
Yes, there's two N's total, but one in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. So the Shannon Show is on YouTube and Spotify, so if you go to either one of those, you can find it. What was the other thing you said you had?
An Instagram account.
Instagram. Yeah, I hear that that's what the younger people have. They're not doing Facebook as much.
No, Facebook isn't really our thing. It's generally the same thing, but it does target more younger kids.
Mm. Speaking of targeting an audience, so your specific audience you're ultimately hoping to reach out to the most, I know you said the general public, but you're thinking 20-somethings, you know, earlier, younger military brats.
Yes, it's definitely the teenage military brats who are about to make a big transition in their lives. One that I just made recently that is either graduating from high school as a military brat and having to apply to a college wherever you're overseas, which is a very difficult process because you don't have that opportunity to really tour the schools like a lot of stateside kids might have. I mean, these are the same kids who might be transitioning to the civilian workforce. So these kids are going through a really big change in their lives, and I want to be there to hear those stories.
All right. Awesome. You know, that kind of reminds me of something. Now we're off track completely. I just talked to somebody whose daughter went to, a big school, a big famous school on the East Coast, and she graduated from Wiesbaden High School. And so she and her parents went to the international student welcome to the college kind of meeting thing. And they actually put up DODEA Europe and DODEA Pacific as kind of countries. You know, here we got a student from Italy, we got a student from China, we got a student from DODEA.
Yeah.
So she,
there's another country.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. So back on track, how do you come up with topics? You know, as you know, I script everything, and the things I heard, you're very spontaneous, but do you script things? What is your process for creating content?
My process, I do write things out. I do like to have a general idea of things I definitely want to cover, because if I start talking to someone, I'll totally forget things, and then their show's over, I'm like, I should have talked about that. So I'll mark out some few main points. I'll let them know ahead of time just so they can, I'm not sure, help them remember whatever stories they want to share. And if there's something specific about what they're doing nowadays, I definitely want to hear about that as well. But other than that, I started this in my bedroom closet with my microphone from Amazon, and it's going well. I'm really enjoying it. Now I'm in my dorm room.
Well, good. So I know you grew up as a Marine Corps brat, and of course one of the most famous to us is Marine Corps brat author Pat Conroy, who wrote The Great Santini. Have you read that book or seen the movie?
I am not familiar with that, no.
Okay. Well, you probably need to, because Pat Conroy is such an icon to military brats, and especially my generation of brats. So, and since he's Marine Corps, you should probably get to know him anyway. So I would recommend just, you know, Googling him, checking out the movie. It's a good movie. It speaks to a lot of people, and then it doesn't speak to a lot of people. It might be a generational thing. But at any rate, I wanted to paraphrase something that Pat Conroy said. He said, "I was raised in the Marine Corps, and I was taught as a boy that you feed your own men before you feed yourself. It was my belief then, and it remains so today, that my platoon, who loves and respects me, will slaughter your platoon that hates you." And then, so I thought that was, I said wow too. Then he adds that understanding this quote made him realize of what kind of person he wanted to become. He wanted to be a contributing citizen in whatever society he found himself in, and to, quote, live out a life I could be proud of and measure up to what I took to be the highest ideal. So thinking about what he said about the Marine Corps and being the highest ideal, how has growing up a Marine Corps brat shaped you?
Well, so the first part of that quote, that definitely it reminds me a lot of my dad, for sure, and just being selfless and putting others before yourself and working hard, not always for yourself, but for others, they still realize you have to work hard. And I think a Marine Corps brat in general, I think it's a lot of it is about, you know, you hear a lot of things. I remember whenever I moved back to the States, a lot of people were asking me, oh, you're a brat, like your parents must be so strict, they must be so hard on you, and it can be at times, but really it's about setting the bar high, and not only saying bar high, but going for it and actually trying to hit it with everything you do. And you don't have to be exactly like your Marine Corps parents. You don't have to, like, I know I'll never be like my dad entirely. I'll never be a Marine. I might not ever work as hard as he does. But you have to realize what your own potential is and strive to reach it, no matter what it is that you want to do. And I think that's a very important message from the Marine Corps Brat Right Lifestyle, is you have a really tight-knit community of resources of people who are willing to support you. You just need to find what you want to do.
So, speaking of that, I know you ran for class president your junior year. So was that one of the things that motivated you to run for office? And then, of course, it, what was your platform when you ran?
So I had been in student government stateside as well from my middle school. It's something that I just like to participate in. But doing it overseas is a completely different thing. And if anyone else on who's listening has been a part of that while overseas, it's a great experience, because not only are you a reflection of your student body, of your school, but it almost kind of feels like you're a reflection of the United States in a way, because you are interacting with the locals a lot of the times and forming events and whatever else, reserving a place for prom or whatnot. So it's just, it's a really cool experience, not only communicating with my peers and my teachers and doing what's best for them, but also getting to interact with people who might not speak the same language as you.
So I interrupted, so I'm sorry. But where were you when you said you were stationed overseas when you were running for...
Oh, right. So I was in Okinawa, Japan for 3 years, my freshman through junior year of high school. I spent in Okinawa, Japan. That was my only time I actually lived outside of the States. It was a great experience. I learned a lot about myself while living out there and all sorts of things. So it was, yeah, that's where I was.
So I have a question about Okinawa. So on the news a while ago, there seemed to be some friction between the military and the Okinawan people. And so how was it with you kids? Was there a friction there too because of that or not?
Well, the friction, it's weird because sometimes wherever you go out in town, I mean, they're just the nicest people. I mean, they're so respectful, so nice. But on the same side of that, I mean, there's also the protests that would be outside of the gates almost every weekend, especially wherever my dad worked on the airbase over there. So you see that, and I was older at the time, but I just couldn't imagine being a kid at the time going to elementary school and just seeing all those people standing out there. They're chanting, yelling for you to leave, they have all these signs up with X's over the helicopters, and stuff. So it's interesting, but overall, I mean, they're just the nicest people, and I have nothing bad to say about that. And I had plenty of interactions with them as well. I've made friends who live in Okinawa still. They were not on the American base, just through playing baseball and just being out in town and tennis.
Okay. So I didn't ask you this yet. So how many times have you moved as a brat? And then I always ask my interviewees how what assignment they liked the least and the best. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I've moved not as much as some of them. I think 5 or 6 times I've moved. The one I like the least, and I'm sure some of the people can relate to this, but I had to move back to Quantico, Virginia for a second time. And anytime you move to a place for a second time, it's very strange because there's these people that you used to know, you know, 3 or 4 years ago that could have been some of your closest friends. And you move back and you think it's like, yes, it's like someplace familiar, someplace like, you know, kind of almost call home, which is very difficult for a lot of kids. And people just change so much in just a short amount of time, and it's really hard seeing that happen. I know that happened for me when I went back to Virginia. A lot of kids that I had known in school, and then I get back there and they have really no interest in continuing their friendship, even whenever I'm back in person. So that's a tough thing to deal with. But there's also a few kids who are also happy to see me, but, you know, a little bit of both. And probably my favorite place was going to Japan and experiencing that. I got to travel so much while I was there, too, to other places in the Pacific, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, so you had talked, I think, in your introduction that you actually went to different places for sporting events. Now, Okinawa is an island. How far is it from mainland Japan or the main part of Japan?
Right. So Okinawa, it's a good bit down from the mainland. It's probably like a two-hour flight up to Tokyo, which I went to a few times for baseball. And because there's only one other American high school on the actual island of Okinawa. There's two schools there. One's the Air Force, one's Marine Corps. So we would get to travel. It was just the best experience. Got to go to Thailand and Bangkok, Hong Kong. Went to Seoul a lot as well.
So when you guys did this, now I'm just curious. So when you did this and you were flying to Japan to play baseball, who paid for it? Did your parents have to chip in, or did you fly on a military plane, or does the school pay for it? I'm just curious now.
Yeah, so with the football team, I know the school would be much more willing to chip in compared to other sports, which makes sense. I mean, you really have to fly the football team now, the American football team, to go play other American schools, because, you know, no Japanese kids generally are playing American football, have any teams to compete with ours. So the school would generally chip in more with that. For baseball and tennis, we would just do a ton of fundraising on the base outside of the commissary and PX, bake sales. I mean, there's a whole bunch of 17-year-old boys trying to sell 20-year-old Marines chocolate chip cookies. So.
Oh, there you go. Hey, things haven't changed. We did that when I was a kid back in the day. I graduated in 79. So you graduated last year, and so my question is, and I am so bad now because I've been in COVID Groundhog Day forever. So when you graduated last year, were you in the States, and was that during the pandemic, before the pandemic? I'm not sure when the pandemic hit you guys.
Yeah, so it was the second half of my senior year of high school, which is like the worst time for it to hit. All my classes moved online. I ended up having a graduation where my mom drove in a line, and I picked up my diploma, and then we drove off. So, I mean, it's what can you do about it? I mean, you just have to do your part, wear a mask, distance, because it doesn't affect people my age as much as others. It's just about doing your part and being aware.
So now you're in college, so classes have started. What are you guys doing in your college? Because, you know, I keep hearing on the news that school starts and then all of a sudden there's like 30 people that are positive and they have to, you know, they have to send kids home, or what?
Yeah, it's crazy. So thankfully, nothing's been too bad here at Penn State. I know a lot of my friends who go to school in all various parts of the country. Some of them have already been sent home. They went to college for a week. They said bye to their parents, and their parents were right back the next week to pick them up. And it's sad, because you really want to have that freshman college experience. But I'm glad to be here. I'm on campus. My family, they live in Mooresville, North Carolina right now, so it's a good ways away. But just happy to be here. Everything's online, so I'm doing my classes in my dorm room or the library, wherever I need to do it online. And
So you're online even though you're there.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're getting sort of part of the experience.
Yeah, part of it, sure.
So your parents are in North Carolina. So how are they handling the pandemic themselves, and then, of course, wondering about you and worrying about you?
My mom she's a little more cautious about it than my dad. Maybe not cautious, paranoid. I don't know what the right word for it is, but they were kind of conflicted a little bit on if they wanted me to come up here, but at the end they thought it was what was for me. And I mean, I'm 18, like, it was just time for me to go to college and get out of the house, and I'll be back for Thanksgiving. We're gonna have like a 3-month break, just so no one's going out on Thanksgiving vacation coming right back to school. It's just one of the precautions they're taking. So I'll be back there not too long. I'm gonna spend a lot of time with them, contact.
Yeah. So has the, we talked a little bit about it, but has the transition from high school to college been hard? But maybe the question is really, has the transition from being around the military to civilian life been hard?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Definitely the second part, going from the military to, I guess you call it civilian life, because my dad retired after our time in Japan, after my junior high school. He retired, and now he's working with Amazon as a manager through their military pathways, which is really cool. He really enjoys what he's doing, and we got moved to Mooresville, North Carolina, which is not at all a military town. So that was a tough transition, because, you know, they'd have like a handful of new kids a year at their school. So that was really a tough part, is just getting there, and no one really knows. I tell kids I'm from Japan, and, you know, I'm a 6'5" white guy, and they don't know. It's just, it's weird for them to understand sometimes.
Yeah, we had a big discussion about that. I was writing an article and talking to people, like my son, he's in his upper 20s now, and he had to go get his driver's license renewed or something, and he needed to show all this different, and he was born in Germany, and he had to show different IDs, and he didn't have his birth certificate, and it was a nightmare. And he was like driving around with an expired license until, oh, because his passport had expired, you know. And it was like, I can't prove I'm an American, and, you know, and it's like, yeah, so, you know, so those things happen to brats a lot. And then other ones, like, were born in, like, Africa or Japan, and, you know, people don't believe them. How can it be that you were born in, you know, such and such? So, yeah.
Exactly.
So,
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, and it's funny, and we all can laugh about it, but, yeah, I was born in France and grew up in Germany.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So in past interviews, I've asked people, like our guests, you know, what advice they would give to somebody who's just starting out in 2020. You know, we were thinking about you guys, the kids, and, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, a horrible economic situation, you know, riots, and people are angry, and murder hornets, and hurricanes, fires, and now this election. And since you're a young person, and we were giving all sorts of profound advice from the perspective of an older person. So you, a young person, are just setting out into this new world. So how are you doing? What do you feel about this moment in time? Are you hopeful, or are you like beat down, or what?
Some of it is difficult. I think overall I'm doing fine. Some things do worry me. I think it's concerning how bitter everyone has kind of become towards each other. And I think part of that is the, a lot of the social media that, I mean, I see it all the time. It's just kind of like thrown in your face a lot. It's just like so much, I guess you call it hate out there. And it's just so easy to do it from behind the screen and while in quarantine. Everyone's just like this war of words. So that's a bit concerning, because I'm not sure how that can get better before it gets worse. I hope that we can just learn how to use those platforms in a more respectful, responsible way than, you know, just acting like the other people on their side of the screen are real people. So that's what worries me the most. The pandemic, I'm obviously tough, and like I said earlier, doing your part, when this isn't the first pandemic ever either, so I understand that, and this has happened to other people before, and we just have to get through it.
So, actually, you were in Japan with some of the... You said this was not your first pandemic?
No, I said this is not, like, the first pandemic in general. Like, generations before us have
gone
through similar things. Yeah.
And I think sometimes, I think that we have had, like, the Ebola not too long ago. You know, that could have been really ugly, and you know, bird flu, and so I mean, we'll get through this. I tell myself that too. I mean, I'm like 175 days now in my house. You know, the museum's been closed. You know, we just go out for food, and like we saw people. But but we have to realize that this did happen in 1918. This has happened before. We will survive this. Well, good. So in the last few minutes that we have left, what would you like our listeners to know about you?
me, I'm not sure specifically about me. I just hope that everyone's doing well, and I hope that everyone is, you know, staying safe with the whole pandemic and everything. I hope that everyone out there, especially if I'm not sure what your target audience is or anything, but if you want to check out my podcast, I'd absolutely love that. I hope that everyone, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, no, and I'll put the link to your Spotify, and if you can shoot me over the link to all your other social media, I'll put it at the bottom of ours. So
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, well, then, you know, and I felt very happy when I heard, you know, that you said you're doing okay and you're concerned about, you know, some of the meanness that you see on social media. I mean, we older people are seeing that too, and my son thinks that I'm a little bit too negative, and I'm like, but you know, I just am so distraught about this. And he's more like your age, and he feels hopeful. There's discussions happening. There is meanness happening, but we're talking about important stuff. And so it's going to be okay. You know, your generation is going to carry the torch further. So, you know, that's a good feeling. Okay. Well, we do actually need to wrap it up, and I did want to thank you very much for coming on and talking to us. It's exciting to talk to a younger generation brat. You happen to be, I think, the youngest one I've ever interviewed. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's good. I'm excited. I wish you the very best with your podcast. And I think it's fun. I'm really enjoying it. I never started out being a podcaster, so I think it's a lot of fun. And
yeah, it is fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And I do think that you're on to something about the transition, because it is hard to transition from being a military kid, living on post. I had a horrible time. I spent most of my life in Germany, and I didn't come to the States until I went to college too. And I really did have a huge struggle. So having somebody out there that's doing it and understands and can help, I think that's great. And also a sounding board so that you can check, am I crazy or is this normal?
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I just want those kids to know that there are resources out there for them. And you know, people do care about what they're going through. It's not like the second you're not bad anymore, no one cares about it. So.
Right. Well, good. So I definitely have to wrap it up now. So once again, this is Circe from the Museum of the American Military Family in Tijeras, New Mexico. I've been speaking with Shannon Hyde, and this has been our podcast, At Ease. Our podcasts are supported in part by New Mexico Arts, the New Mexico Humanities Council, Sandia Area Credit Union, and organizations like Military Brat Seal and Military Brats Registry. And so thanks again, Shannon. I wish you the very best with your schooling and your creative endeavors. So
thank you very much. Wish you the best too.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.